This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with the possibility your UPS deliverer may not show up as usual a week from today. Union contracts expire August 1st, and at least one big issue is outstanding. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
The UPS union president says 95% of the contract is done, with UPS agreeing to things weeks ago, like bringing air conditioning to its iconic brown delivery fleet for the first time. But other issues, like pay for part-time workers, remain at stake, says Michigan State University's Jason Miller.
Really, it's just coming down to dollar figures. Teamsters are saying that the pay is substantially lower than effectively UPS corporate is saying.
He says a UPS strike would hit the healthcare system hard when it comes to medical supplies and pharmaceutical products.
Talks are set to resume today. A new study from the World Weather Attribution Network offers a sobering reason for the number of unusual heat waves baking the planet. Humans burning fossil fuels. Lead scientist Mariam Zachariah.
Such events would have been extremely unlikely, I mean, bordering on almost impossible had there been no climate change.
The Biden administration is suing to have a floating border removed from the Rio Grande after Texas Governor Greg Abbott refused to do it. River guy Jesse Fuentes, who's also suing, spoke with CBS's Janet Shamlian.
How has this impacted your business?
Literally shut me down.
What problem do you see the buoys posing for the migrants?
They're a hazard. They're going to deviate from that location to deeper water.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been involved in a car accident. Correspondent Christopher Cruz has the latest.
It happened this morning as DeSantis was traveling to an event in Chattanooga, Tennessee. His campaign tells CBS News DeSantis and his aides were not injured. In a statement, the campaign said, "We appreciate the prayers and well wishes of the nation for his continued protection while on the campaign trail."
Things are looking up on the global financial front. The International Monetary Fund has just upgraded its global growth forecast from 2.8 in April to 3% for the year, increasing prospects of avoiding a recession as higher interest rates filter throughout the world. Business is booming at General Motors. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert from Detroit.
GM making $2.6 billion, a 52% increase from last year's second quarter. They've also added $1 billion to what they expect to make for the full year.
Here's another sign: pandemic woes are behind us. The Wall Street Journal says self-storage companies are cutting rents by as much as 28%, thanks in part to falling home sales. The Dow is down 1 point. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I have diabetes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For 105.7 CFW and the Tap FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. For the second time this year, the Eau Claire City Council will be considering a wheel tax. Earlier this year, a proposed wheel tax of $30 fails to advance to the full council. The new proposal calls for a $24 fee that would provide an estimated $1.2 million to the city's budget for road repairs, or about one quarter of that budget. After last night's hearing on the topic, which drew dozens of people for public comment, most of them largely opposed to the new fee, the council is expected to take action on the measure at tonight's meeting. A Water Street business owner is sentenced for selling drugs and being a felon in possession of a gun. Dwayne Perkins, the owner of Dropkicks, was sentenced to 7 years in prison and 5 years of extended supervision. Perkins told investigators he sold fentanyl to support his own drug habits. A heat wave is on the way. Temperatures today could touch 90 here across the Chippewa Valley.
From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Yeah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it.
Find Small Business Calm at UMA.com/radio. That's OOMA.com/radio.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
And so it goes. Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? And so it goes. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
And so it goes. You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How do you plan to stay cool? Both in the short term, as in like the next 10 days, but also in the long term. I'm interested in anything you've read about or are already investigating as far as long-term technology that is being explored of how the hell we're going to keep ourselves cool in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, because I am bullish on humans' capacity to come up with new technology. I am less bullish on our human capacity and political will to do anything to curb how hot the world is getting. And so that there's one that I feel like is probably inevitable, and our ability to come up with ways to live with it is much more likely than our ability to actually keep it from happening. 844-967-2789. How do you stay cool currently, knowing that it's going to be very hot these next 10 days? But also, is there anything out there that you've read about that you think is interesting technology and interesting advancement that will keep us not even cool, but just not dying from heat?
That would be nice.
In the future. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Jane Matnair, how do you stay cool?
I stay in the house.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, we're fortunate. We have air conditioning. When I think of people who live in apartment buildings that have no air.
Or old houses.
They don't have the duct work for it and all that stuff. With a little room air conditioner. I don't know how they do it. The one trick I heard about, and I've never tried this myself, but if you have a little fan or a box fan and you take a couple of bottles of water and you freeze them and then you can like zip tie them to the front of the fan.
Okay.
That's something.
Something.
But I mean, we all know how hot it's been in Arizona, right?
Well, I mean,
it's insane.
It's interesting because I feel like every day it's in the news of how hot it is. Like in my roundup of, Washington Post, like seven top stories, Morning Brew, 1440, like all of my like crowdsourced, like here are the things you need to know today that I read every morning and prep for the show.
Right.
For the last 2-3 weeks, every morning there's at least one story about the heat.
Well, I grabbed something from the CBS Morning Show from today talking about the conditions currently in Tempe, Arizona.
Even quick contact with the ground here, which can hit 180 degrees, may cause first-degree burns. And at the Arizona Burn Center, officials say more than a third of the beds are occupied by patients with surface contact burns.
Think about that.
From the sidewalk?
Yeah. 180-degree sidewalks. Yeah. So I guess if you trip and you fall, you're going to get a first-degree burn.
I mean, how are people getting in and out of their cars? Because think about like a hot car on a hot day if you forget to park in the shade and, you know, the way it feels on the back of your legs because you're obviously wearing shorts because it's hot.
I can't even imagine. I really can't. And I have a brother. One of my brothers and his family is in Phoenix, outside of Phoenix. And I want to say in January, we were on the phone and he was talking about how lovely it was because he was in the backyard sitting by the pool. And I said, well, that's all well and good, dear. Let's talk in August and see how you're feeling then. And I don't think that they expected that it was going to be this hot for this long.
For this long. I mean, this was as of, was this yesterday? This was as of July 19th. Heat has killed at least 18 people in Arizona's Maricopa County so far this year. There's 69 more deaths that are under investigation. And the county is one of the few that has revamped its reporting to ensure heat deaths are accounted for. So that's just the fact that they're reporting it compared to other places that aren't reporting them as heat deaths. But, you know, over 250 million people are set to experience heat indexes over 90 degrees in the coming days.
That's most of the country.
And this number, I don't know if this is the world or this is the country, but here, let me see if I can make that. Oh yeah, this is the country. So this is even talking about Europe and
right.
Other places that are also dealing with this. But this week will be the summer's hottest so far over the lower 48 states. By Wednesday and Thursday, all but the Pacific Northwest will see above average temperatures, and that includes Wisconsin. So we, you know, so far, Wisconsin's actually been, our summer's actually been like a degree, like less than usual.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So while much of the southern United States has been suffering through a record heat wave, temperatures in Wisconsin have been below average this month, despite a statewide drought. But those mild temperatures in the state may be coming to an end as the hottest conditions of the summer are expected to move in this week. So once again, I ask you, knowing that it's going to get really hot, how do you plan to stay cool? 844-967-2789. I guess for some people, it's just, you know, for when you're lucky enough to live in a place that has air conditioning.
But
that's the answer.
Think about all the people who work outside.
That's, yes.
Postmen and roofers and landscapers and...
Postmen, you said.
Delivery drivers.
And this is why the part of the UPS strike is so insane, that the fact that they have for so long have had trucks that don't have air conditioning in them
at all.
And so that, but then, you know, and like, it's what they always say, right? Check on elderly, like the people in your life who are older, kids, making sure that they are staying cool. And so that being the most vulnerable to this kind of heat, you know, staying hydrated, don't like drink your face off outside. But I'm also interested in just like, this, you know, this also could be the coolest summer we have ever in for future.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that terrifying?
Yes.
And it's interesting. What is interesting, though, is so far the power grids in a lot of these places have been okay.
That's amazing.
And that's so, you know, the California, so PG&E, which is the California utility company, and they would be able to meet heightened demand for electricity this summer, while the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which is known for being not that reliable, hasn't asked residents to conserve electricity since last month, even as power demand hit a new record last week. And so it's, you know, why is this potentially happening? There's several reasons why power grids are holding up during the heat waves of this summer. California's record snowpack in the winter has given a major boost to hydropower.
Oh.
In May, hydropower produced more electricity than any month in the previous 3 years, per California's grid operator. So, one, renewable energy. Another reason, in renewable energy powerhouse Texas, solar capacity is more than twice the amount installed at the same point last year.
Oh, wow.
And recently expanded battery storage in both states can be tapped as an emergency lifeline when the power grid is strained. So,
because Texas is kind of an island unto itself.
Well, they have their own power grid
when it comes to power, right?
Yeah, I mean, they unlike other states, they manage and maintain their own power grid.
They don't share.
No. And so, but also there's the same story in Europe so far, as Europe's electricity systems are coping with the heat, which is a good thing, obviously. But it's also part of that is because it's not traditional electricity that is being reliant. It is being able to hydropower, solar power, and being able to rely on different things. So it goes back to my original question of, you know, the rudimentary layperson right now of like, eat popsicles. That's my go-to.
Get a freezy.
How do you stay cool? But I'm really interested in what people are hearing as far as bigger plans of how we're going to manage this. Because, again, this is not going away.
Well, and then we have to take into consideration the water temperature. Because I believe the water temperature right now off the coast of Florida is 93 degrees.
Is it still?
Yeah. And so we're going to have mass bleaching of corals.
Yeah.
Which is a critical life system within our seas and our oceans. Are we all going to be walking around in refrigerated suits?
Well, and that's the thing, because it's one thing, you know, like the ability to, for most of us to say our answer is, oh, we'll just stay inside. And not everyone has that luxury.
Exactly.
Like there is a homeless population. There, like you said, there's people who make a living by working outside. There's people who live in places where air conditioning isn't an option, and you have fans and maybe, you know, individual units. But I just think it's interesting as far as what people are working on to try to make this a habitable place in the future. And so either way, if you have any heat hacks, that you'd like to share with people for how to get through the next 10 days when it's going to get super hot, we would love to hear from you. But also, if there's any interesting technology that you've read about that you think is interesting, I have some that I'm going to get to on the other side of the break as far as maybe going underground, maybe making everything look like Santorini, which wouldn't be a bad thing.
Oh, Santorini is beautiful.
You know, white concrete? I don't know.
Try and reflect the light.
Yeah, exactly. 844-967-2789. We will take your texts and your calls on the other side of the break of how do you beat the heat for both today and tomorrow. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap.
It's going to be warm and muggy here for the next couple of days. In fact, by Wednesday and Thursday, we're talking a heat index pushing 100 or better. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 92 this afternoon. The wind south at 5 to 15. Could catch an isolated thunderstorm late tonight. Tomorrow, sunny 93. We'll get to a high of 96 by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Ole, ole, ole.
Yes, sir!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are asking you, how do you beat the heat? Because the heat is certainly coming to Wisconsin in the next 10 days. Likely will be worse depending on where you live. But not only is it going to be hot, it is also going to be humid.
Yeah.
And this is after it's been hot, like deathly hot, no exaggeration, in other parts of the country, California, Arizona, Texas, where people have died and some people are getting surface burns from the sidewalk. And I'm interested in talking, you know, life hacks of how you stay cool today, but also if you've heard anything of what technology is coming down the pipe to keep us cool in the future, if this is likely what every summer is going to look like for not only our country, but around the world. 844-967-2789. We'll go to the phones. Dave from Mequon. How do you stay cool?
I love going to Elkhart Lake.
Okay.
It's just an hour. Yeah, it's an hour north of where I live. And it's a spring fed. It's not a huge lake, but it's fantastic. It's probably some of the nicest water in the southeast part of the state. I'd say that in Lake Geneva. So that's where I'm going to be.
All right. I'd
definitely take the boat in there and enjoy the water. And it's a beautiful place. I highly recommend it. People know it for Road America, but the lake is totally, it's kind of like the gem of that community, to be honest with you.
Are there less fibs there than Lake Geneva?
I'm sorry?
Is there less Illinois people there than Lake Geneva? Is it more of a secret? Is it more of a secret than Lake Geneva is?
Yes.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Sold.
There's a lot of Illinois people, but it's not big. I mean, Elkhart Lake has only got, I think, like just a shade under 1,000 residents.
Okay.
And there's three major hotels, or resorts, I should say, on the lake, and they're great. One of them is called the Ostoff, one is called Seatkins, and I forgot the other one that changed names recently. And it's really great. And the other place that I used to go to, but it's a little further drive, is Green Lake. and Green Lake is up by Ripon, and it's the deepest lake in the state. It's ginormous. I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right.
But it's also, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, places to go to if you want to cool off in your local lake.
That's, I mean, Lake Michigan's probably still pretty cold, too.
Well, there's
if you really need to cool off, you can jump in there. Thanks for the call, Dave. Yeah. So I wanted to get off before we move on to the next segment, because it is Tuesday, so we're going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer after this next break. But some things that I've read that, you know, because NASA is not working on a space fan, at least that we know of.
Space fan.
But there are other scientists who are picking up their slack in trying to cool buildings down. So one is going underground. Geothermal heat pumps can cool and heat, because it will get cold again someday, your home by sending water through buried pipes to take advantage of the stable temperature of the ground beneath your backyard. So it's got some big advantages over traditional air conditioning and heating, because it uses far less electricity and it's much cheaper in the long run. It is typically more expensive up front, but a 30% tax credit from the Inflation Reduction Act could change that.
Oh, wow.
So this is something that's already here.
We're all going to be living in the Shire, essentially.
Well, I don't think if you're building your house underground, but it's like the heat pumps and that stuff is underground.
I kind of like the idea of living in the Shire, but anyway.
Anyway, so then the other option potentially is the whitest paint in the world. We're talking paint so white it could share a sandwich with its dog.
What?
Because white people share their food with dogs all the time. And I am totally guilty of that. So is Mike. A team of scientists at Purdue University created a white paint that reflects 98% of sunlight. Most white paints only reflect 80 to 90%.
Oh, wow.
It won't be ready for commercial use for at least another year, but it promises to decrease the need for air conditioning inside a building by about 40%.
That's great.
And so that's what I mean. We could look like Santorini is beautiful.
I could live
in a place where every building is white.
It's gorgeous.
And then I found, I don't think we have time to go through them, but I did find an article that there's 10 different Israeli companies that are working on innovation for how to cool down buildings. And I think it's interesting of like the aspect of cooling down individuals versus cooling down buildings, but also like ultimately like what do we do for the outside? Because it still doesn't help how much people have to be outside, or for the people who have to be outside, how do they survive the heat? And so
I want to give a quick shout out to Judy from East Troy. Hi, girls. We have no air, but we have ceiling fans in all the rooms. Windows open early, closed when the sun comes around the house. Drapes and shades closed. Nice and dark and cool. Been doing this for 37 years. Props to you, Judy.
There you go. See? Everyone's got their way. All right, when we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here. We're going to talk about the RNC. We're going to talk about voting early. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
He's hot, she's hot, real hot, real hot, real hot, real hot.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Both UPS and union delivery drivers return to the bargaining table today to try to avert a strike next Tuesday. And it's not just your packages from UPS that would be affected. Noam Scheiber covers labor for the New York Times.
Amazon now has its own, you know, big delivery network, but they still rely on UPS to do, you know, 10-20% of it. So things could quickly snarl there.
Holding up a deal, salary hikes. Never mind higher interest rates, Americans are feeling good about the economy. Consumer confidence shot up to the highest level in 2 years this month as inflationary pressures eased. The suffocating heat baking the U.S. and other parts of the world. An international group of scientists blames humans for burning fossil fuels. Lead author Mariam Zachariah.
All you need to do is look at the facts. There is no other way to explain the signals other than with including the greenhouse gas emissions that we've been putting into the atmosphere.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For 105.7 CFW and the TAP FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. For the second time this year, the Eau Claire City Council will be considering a wheel tax. Earlier this year, a proposed wheel tax of $30 fails to advance to the full council. The new proposal calls for a $24 fee that would provide an estimated $1.2 million to the city's budget for road repairs, or about one quarter of that budget. After last night's hearing on the topic, which drew dozens of people for public comment, most of them largely opposed to the new fee, the council is expected to take action on the measure at tonight's meeting. A Water Street business owner is sentenced for selling drugs and being a felon in possession of a gun. Dwayne Perkins, the owner of Dropkicks, was sentenced to 7 years in prison and 5 years of extended supervision. Perkins told investigators he sold fentanyl to support his own drug habits. A heat wave is on the way. Temperatures today could touch 90 here across the Chippewa Valley.
From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This time of year, the world's busiest airport is Oshkosh. During the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA Air Venture. 10,000 airplanes fly in, typically 600,000 people visit, spending $170 million. Big numbers worth celebrating considering EAA started in a Milwaukee basement with a little more than 100 people 70 years ago. EAA runs through July 30th. Keep an eye to the sky if you're in the Oshkosh area. Daily air shows start at 2:30. I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And that music, what is it called? Discombobulating?
It's called Discombobulate.
Discombobulate by Hans Zimmer can only mean that we're recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoy having my own theme music from Hans Zimmer, too.
He's the best. He's the GOAT, right?
Like, this is you know, yeah, this is, I'm really excited.
I don't know what the copyright is. If you were to put that on your podcast, if you could get away with it, but, I don't know, test the waters, try it out.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll shoot first and ask questions later.
Ask for forgiveness after.
That has been my go-to in most of my content creation life, mostly because I don't make money off of any of my content. So it's like, who's going to sue me? just, you know, downloading things and being like, well, let's just go with it. All right. Well,
this is a private conversation we're having, right?
Totally,
this isn't
on
the airwaves. Totally. This isn't getting any of us in trouble.
No.
Okay, good.
Not admitting guilt whatsoever. Dan Schaefer. So I think Town Call After Us talked about this yesterday, and I didn't know what they were talking about until I got home and read about it on my own. But it seems like the Republicans, not just the Wisconsin Republicans, but the entire RNC has seen the light that early voting, not such a bad thing, that maybe they should double down on it. And yesterday, the RNC launched an effort to boost Republican early voting in Wisconsin. Thoughts, Dan Schaefer?
You know, I was thinking about this. This is like if I came out and came on the show today and said, I'm a Celtics fan now. I'm not a Bucks fan. I'm a Celtics fan. I'm going to reverse course on everything that I have said and done and believed in for years and years and years. It is such a, you know, I think it's just such a hypocritical reversal of the way they have approached voting rights for so long. And now that they realize that these are not illegitimate votes, these are not some sort of fraud, these are not, you know, something that some nefarious way to swing an election, it's just voting. So I think they realize that they've put themselves at such a disadvantage with early voting, because people like early voting. People like having, you know, not having to you know, rearrange their schedules on election day if it's an inconvenience for them or whatever, and might be able to, you know, get that vote to your local clerk early. And now they're just going to reverse course and pretend like none of this happened. And of course, I also think it's hilarious that they are launching this in Wisconsin, which has been one of the states most aggressively rolling back voting rights. And they are launching it with Ron Johnson, who has been maybe the senator, the single U.S. senator most responsible for the ridiculous attacks on the legitimacy of the 2020 election, obviously his role in the fake elector scheme and January 6th and all that. It's just like the hypocrisy is just immense on this one.
And the truth is, Jane.
How do they craft this message? I want to be in on the meetings as they craft this message saying, I know we've been telling you for 10 years that this is dangerous and it's all a lie and everything, but oops, we were wrong. I mean, they're never going to say that.
Yeah, and
yeah, they'll never admit fault in any of this. They'll never go back and admit, like, hey, you remember the last 3 years when we were suggesting that your votes don't count? Remember all that we did with the year-long Gableman investigation? Remember all of the things that we've did during the Walker years and during the Voss years to roll back early voting, use, you know, their friends in the conservative legal community to sue at every little juncture that, you know, would have expanded voting rights and early voting? No, we're just gonna brush right past that. Yeah, no, that's not happening. We're not gonna move right past that. No.
Well, and it's interesting because now they kind of have to put their money where their mouth is, because simultaneously there's a new lawsuits for the Dropbox ban and the absentee ballot rules. And they're going to be challenged in a lawsuit ahead of, you know, what are we, 12 days away, 11 days away from the Supreme Court flipping?
And we're 7 days away.
Are we only 7 days away?
It's a week
1st.
From today.
Yeah, August 1st.
It's August 1st. Kristen.
Pregnancy brain.
August 1st. It's happening.
I don't know what day it is. I just show up on time.
It's the little one's fault.
I saw something, just a quick side note. I saw something as a woman having her, like, trying to win an argument with her husband when she was pregnant. She goes, I have two brains right now, so I'm right. And I was like, I don't know if it works like that. I definitely feel dumber since I've had two brains. But I like the argument. But it's interesting. So it's is it Elias or Elias?
I'm not sure.
You know what? So the law group on behalf of two liberal-leaning organizations and a Dane County man
are basically challenging what came down last year as far as absentee ballot voting and drop box voting in Wisconsin. And my question is, now that the RNC is so in favor of getting their people out to vote early, aren't they going to magically also reverse course on drop boxes, on some of these rules that, you know, the conservative law group, Rick Essenberg and Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, are they going to like about face on this? And even if we don't get an apology, like I will take the reversal of them not fighting these stupid laws that they put in, because there's zero difference between the Dropbox, like putting something in a Dropbox and putting something in the mail. And if we can reverse that, like, fine. Like,
actually more secure to put it in a Dropbox.
Yeah, yes. And so it's like, is that where this is going as far as, like, if you guys are really embracing early voting, are you also going to not put up a stink with these lawsuits that are going to come forth?
Or when, you know, when Milwaukee tries to have things like an early voting station at Fiserv Forum or American Family Field, are conservatives going to sue to try to block that type of thing again? You know, all these different, they have used the levers of power in the legal system in so many different ways. And I think we've talked so much about what this shift will mean on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, but I think voting rights is really going to be one of the topics that's going to emerge, especially in the early going here after Protasiewicz is sworn in next week. You know, I think voting rights is going to be a big part of that. I think gerrymandering is going to be a big part of that, because there are such obvious cases to be made in so many of these instances too. Like last week, I had a chance to interview Jeff Mandel from Law Forward.
Oh, great. We're going to actually have Nicole Safer on 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Also from Law Forward.
Yeah. And he was talking about how, you know, we might not see a huge shift immediately in what would happen with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because these cases have to kind of make their way through. Yeah. But with gerrymandering, with voting rights, those are two issues that are expected to come up before the court fairly soon.
Fairly soon. Which is interesting, because even without, despite, this is a segue, despite the attack on voting rights, despite the conservative court that has voted or ruled against these things with drop boxes and early voting and all of this stuff, statewide elections, Democrats have still done a pretty good job in Wisconsin, despite all of that. And it has been noticed by Politico. I'm assuming you saw this, because this is also your job.
I did, yes.
Last week, Politico had an article that featured specifically Dane County, but college towns kind of across the country, but how basically saying that what Dane County has done has made it almost impossible potentially for Republicans to win statewide here. Is that a fair summary of the article?
It is, and I think it's, you know, it looked at Dane County and a number of these college towns that maybe were even kind of, you know, 50-50 in the past and are trending certain directions. You know, but I think Dane County in particular, between young people voting in greater and greater margins for Democrats, and I think people in suburban communities voting in greater and greater margins for Democrats, I think it is just supercharged the margins in Dane County to such a degree where it is the biggest problem that Republicans mm-hmm. are facing in the state, the Dane County turnout machine. It was something I wrote about in the breaking down the midterms and breaking down the spring election. You know, it's just such a huge part of what's happening in statewide elections in Wisconsin. And I think Dane County in that article really emerging as the example of a college town shift, of a, you know, of another, you know, number of demographic factors that are kind of baked into that as well. So I think it's really interesting, and it's making, we've seen it in the last two mm-hmm. election cycles. It's making such a big difference. And I think, you know, part of that also is because these are the first kind of normal-ish post-pandemic elections mm-hmm. too. And I think you saw a response to what Republicans did during the pandemic and have done, you know, with the levers of power as well in the state of Wisconsin. And it's just a wholesale rejection of that on policy, in addition to just kind of the demographic and organizational factors that are in play there as well.
Our guest is Dan Schaefer. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area. But here's my hypothesis. If the Republicans embrace early voting and drop boxes, they are going to double down on their efforts to raise the voting age to 25.
Oh, and we're seeing that from some of the candidates running for in a presidential primary field. I think Vivek Ramaswamy is
yes.
been pushing that in a big way to raise the voting age. And we're going to see that too. They're going to try to limit, you know, voting locations. They're going to try to limit, you know, it's the double-edged sword of what they're saying and doing here, right? I think back to a couple months ago, the Republicans had their conference or their annual conference. And, you know, the head of the GOP was saying, hey, we need to embrace early voting. We need to embrace blah, blah, blah. And then I think at the same time that they like passed a resolution at that conference or something like that to say, hey, can we get rid of, like, I'm exaggerating, but like, hey, can we get rid of polling places at college campuses or whatever it might be? Like, it's just, you know, I think it's, this is one thing that the party leaders in the base in the party don't seem to be aligned on.
Well, it doesn't seem, I mean, that coming out of that convention, granted, we were not invited, so we were not there.
We were rejected.
Not famously not invited.
Yes. All of our, all of our conclusions of what happened there is secondhand from what other people reported. But in general, it doesn't feel like there is a lot of consensus on anything. I don't feel like there's consensus on a candidate for president. There's certainly, we have no candidate to run against Tammy Baldwin right now. And this like real internal struggle that they have as far as like, are we MAGA or are we trying to appeal to the suburban voters that we're losing? Are we fiscal conservatives? And are we talking about like kitchen table, like economic stuff? Or are we talking about transgender sports and bathrooms and teaching that slavery was good? And I think there's like, they don't know. I don't think, I mean, it doesn't seem like they know.
We have a text I wanted to share with you from the 541. The GOP will use these lawsuits as their basis for the change of course. The courts say we have to, so we are going to embrace the decisions made by the courts.
So how do they embrace and encourage early voting, but only to their people? How do you have that selective, like, you guys should vote early, but not them? And, like, how do you make rules and laws that facilitate that? What does that, mean? Do you have an idea of what that could even look like?
I think, you know, if I could try to, you know, examine the calculus of what they're thinking here, I think there used to be the theory that, like, high turnout automatically meant Democratic victory,
which has been proven not to necessarily be the case.
Which is well, and has been trending in the other direction lately, because I think you have people in the suburbs that have been trending Democratic are more reliable voters, people who will vote in every election, not just a presidential or not just a gubernatorial, but will vote and up and down the ballot and primaries and blah 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 and all of that. And I think the kind of more white working class voters that the Trump campaign really tapped into in 2016. You know, who knows if they're still there in 2024. People are less reliable and going to vote in every election. They might vote in presidential elections with Trump on the ticket. But I think that has kind of changed the calculus and say, okay, higher turnout automatically means Democratic victory. Now it might. Now things have changed there.
Changed a little bit.
So I think that's a factor as well.
All right. When we come back, Dan Schaefer will still be here. And we're going to recombobulate not necessarily about anything in Wisconsin, but about X. The letter X and how it makes you feel. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
It's going to be warm and muggy here for the next couple of days. In fact, by Wednesday and Thursday, we're talking a heat index pushing 100 or better. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 92 this afternoon. The wind south at 5 to 15. Could catch an isolated thunderstorm late tonight. Tomorrow, sunny 93. We'll get to a high of 96 by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and it is Tuesday, so we are recombobulating with Mr. Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area, and a prolific tweeter, I would say. I think one of my best jokes was when I hosted your 2-year anniversary of the Recombobulation Area and interviewed you, and then we also played the championship game when the Bucks won, summer 2021. And my closing question to you was, who watches your daughters while you're tweeting? But, you know, to be fair, you've grown Recombobulation Area, I think you can probably attribute a lot to Twitter and the community that you've built there. And so what I think of how it's getting upended by Elon, that can't feel good. And this week is probably the most upending news of what it's not even called Twitter anymore.
It's called X. It's just, you know, it seems like every couple weeks there's some news with Twitter that makes it seems like, oh, this might be done. We might be done here. But yeah. Then again, it's like. But then, you know, things will calm down and people will get used to whatever stupid thing that Elon has passed down. And I think the tweet I always reference when thinking about this, Brooke Frizzell, who is another prolific tweeter in Milwaukee, said like something along the lines of, she said, leaving Twitter just because it's fallen into disrepair under terrible leadership. I live in a state run by the Wisconsin State Legislature. So it's like, well... I'm not leaving because much like living in a state run by the Wisconsin State Legislature, it's our problem and we're going to all fix it together.
And it's interesting that you say that because it's like you've put like it's the sweat equity into a community that you've built there and stuff. I have found myself disengaging on there almost entirely just because like I don't have the energy to fight with people right now. And I feel like it's. Because it's like they just have too many other things going on. And so it's become toxic enough where I'm like, oh, if I put this out there, am I going to get something from one of these conservative trolls? And like, then I'm going to have to go through the mental gymnastics. Like, do I want to respond to this? Do I disengage? Do I
and then I'll think about it and I'll probably come up with something like really witty, but then I'll talk myself out of it because it's like, oh, I don't want to be mean. And like, I don't have time. I don't have time to like do that argument in my own head, let alone then actually just like engage and go down that rabbit hole. And so I found myself totally not wanting to be there, which is frustrating because it is a community, but it's like, it sounds like he's trying to make this into the app to end all apps. Have you read about what he wants X to be?
Yeah, I think he, you know, it's just, he'll say these things, right? He'll just say things in these interviews and try to explain what's happening. And I think ultimately, if you step back and take a big picture look at what he's doing, there was a really good piece on this by a guy named Casey Newton, who writes a Substack called Platformer. It's a really good one on tech community. And it's just, he talked about that it's not just, you know, one little thing of changing it to X and, you know, having these goofy, dumb 420-69 jokes that he does all the time. It's just, he's trying to neuter a platform that has been an effective organizing tool and messaging tool for the left. And I think, you know, it's a platform that has, of course, been used by all corners of the political spectrum. But I think it's a platform that's been used most effectively by those on the left. And I think that is ultimately what he's trying to do. He's trying to ruin something that has been, you know, a tool to speaking truth to power and organizing on the left. And, you know, I think there was an instance where he was just like posting a video joking about the Black Lives Matter t-shirts he found in the background of or in some locker at Twitter headquarters and stuff like that. I think that is ultimately the goal of this is to break something. And whatever he says he's going to build, you know, he'll say something and then go back on it a week later and then say it's part of a larger plan to do this and that. It's not. It's just breaking something. He's just breaking something.
Because what he's saying is basically X is like a universe that pulls together 24 years of his ideas and wildest fantasies. This is from Axios. In Musk's random tellings, it will be Twitter plus Substack plus YouTube plus PayPal plus Amazon plus TikTok plus WeChat plus Baidu. I don't even know what that one is. All rolled into one universe marked by the letter X. And
I'm sorry, when I hear that, I hear it in Kendall Roy from Succession's voice, yes, where it's just like, we're going to be this, this, and this, and it's going to change the game.
And yet,
it sounds so pathetic. Like, these tech leaders have just been so pathetic on so many of these things.
But it's interesting because ultimately he's still $44 billion in the hole on this, right? And so one of the interesting, my brother sent me this one, from Data Drive MD. I don't know who this person is, but this is an interesting theory. I'm just going to float it out there. The Twitter rebrand reeks of legal maneuvering meant to keep the company's most valuable asset, its brand, out of the fray. Rebranding affords Elon the ability to transfer Twitter brand assets to a shell company before X files for bankruptcy. This maneuver safeguards the brand from creditors and protects his ability to sell the brand without requiring the court's permission or reuse the brand if when X emerges from bankruptcy. This was him quote tweeting, by my calculations, we're 4 to 6 weeks away from X filing for bankruptcy and about 6 to 9 months from X emerging from bankruptcy and rebranding itself as Twitter. So is this a way for him to not be $44 billion in the hole?
Yeah, well, it's just a way that, you know, another example in this country of even when billionaires fail, they still happen to make money and they still don't pay taxes and they still somehow fail upwards over and over and over again.
And that'll be just fine. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, in the 2 minutes that we have left, you got anything coming up? Any plugs or something? Any events, podcasts? Just generally?
No.
Starting to
slow down a little bit. Okay. But as we begin to start to turn our attention towards 2024, towards the political news cycle that will soon envelop Wisconsin, I would recommend that you get that subscription to the Recombobulation Area now so that you can be on board for all that we have planned for covering elections in this crazy state for the next 18 months. And now we are just less than a month away from the first debate in Milwaukee. You know, I've been writing a little bit about DeSantis and Trump, talked a little bit about that on WTMJ Nights last week.
Nice.
So that's all out there. Come check it out. Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Dan Schaefer, we will see you back next week when the Supreme Court will be flipping because
apparently it's in 7 days. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, Renee Eastman from Leading Age Wisconsin is going to be here to talk about our crisis in our living, our senior living centers across Wisconsin. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.